long since I've been here, and I have such great memories of being in Scotland, and the fact that I haven't been out touring around the world in so long is a very exciting thing, and to come back with a big hit album is a wonderful experience, and it's a wonderful thing to know that there's that kind of interest and that kind of excitement about me coming back.
Your latest album is called Then and Now, and it's a combination of new songs and new versions of some of your classic hits. What was it like getting back into the studio again and doing some of those great songs?
We went back and recorded a lot of the early things in the same studio with the same musicians in the same room that I recorded things 25 years before. The songs are great songs, and great songs hold up. I have almost more of an appreciation for them and everything else as we do as we get older. But I loved it because I was able to readdress them like they were brand new songs. And they're just jewels, but they're mine, you know.
When you arrived in Scotland for your first ever big gig, the date was May the 24th, 1974. You were literally smuggled into Glasgow and smuggled back out again. What was it like to be the focus of such mass hysteria?
From the airport all the way into town, there was a road that we drove on, that on both sides of the road, almost all the way in, there were people lined up just to watch me drive by, and were there waving to me, and I'd never experienced anything like that, like felt like miles of it. But I remember thinking, this is so incredible.
When you were on stage trying to sing a song above the noise of 50,000 screaming fans, were you able to actually enjoy it?
Yeah, well, I loved it. That was the part I loved the most, of being on stage. It was the other, you know, 23 hours of the day that you had to try and cope with.
The pressure of fame just got too much for you after a show at Madison Square Garden in New York when you thought enough is enough. What actually happened?
Well, in Madison Square Garden, the fans were, there were 21,000 people in that building, and outside they practically stopped traffic in Midtown Manhattan, and they threw me in a blanket and chucked me, and I ended up, you know, half an hour from there, I was in some dive of a hotel, motel, somewhere in Queens, and I was alone for hours. By the time they got back in, got people out, back out to get me out, I thought the irony of this is so, something so wrong. You know, you come from that focal point of having people screaming at you that they love you, and there you are left alone in some, you know, two-bit motel in Queens. I just thought, I think that this has to end at some point. I can't continue to do this.
After you decided to quit, how long was it before you were able to lead any kind of semblance of normal life again?
A few years. I can't remember, but it was a long time. When you are fortunate enough to be in that situation, to have the world's attention and to be loved, and every move, everything that you do, it's difficult to re-enter civilization, and I became as very much a recluse and very much a pretty paranoid guy from everywhere, because it was people coming at me from everywhere, and it took me a long time to try and adjust to that.
So tell me then, is it going to be 15 years before we see David Cassidy back on tour in Britain again?
I hope it's not more than another 6 months or so. Maybe even less. There's a promise that I made to myself that if I was going to come back and it was going to be this successful and the dates would be sold out as they have been, that I would come back again and come back soon, hopefully in the spring.
Well, David, it's nice to see you back in the relative calm of Scotland again.
We'll see you tonight.
Haste you back.
Yeah, thanks.